Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter what time you're listening and where you're listening from. This is Karen Tate, and this is Voices of the Sacred Feminine, the longest running podcast related to the Divine Feminine that's been on the air. And we go back here to 2009. And we talk about sex, power, politics, religion, the uplift of women, healing from trauma. And I'd like to think that our mantra is, I am enough and so are you. You know, it's a message that women don't get in this society often enough. And for women my age and a little bit younger, it's not something we heard much at all, although I think the younger generation is getting a lot smarter with more positive messages than we had growing up. But I think that's an important mantra that we all hold close to our heart. I am enough and so are you. Well, today's topic is discovering your life's purpose, and it might be in your genes. I know you're probably saying, what? Well, okay, I'm going to explain all of that. You just hang in here with me, and we're going to get to that, because I think a lot of people, you know, as they're thinking about their soul's journey, as they're thinking about, you know, the deeper questions beyond how's the weather and, you know, what's the greatest pair of shoes out there. You know, some of us are, you know, going a little bit deeper and wonder, you know, the meaning of life. You know, why are we put here? You know, are we here to accomplish a specific goal? And so anyway, we're going to be talking about how you might discover your life's purpose later. But before we do, I have to say, I am not taking Russian money to share my ideas with you. And I say that with a laugh and kind of tongue-in-cheek, hoping that you have been following the news and heard about the Department of Justice coming down on that company Tennant from Tennessee that I think they were the go-between people in Russia and right-wing influencers to spew right-wing propaganda. These people say they were duped. They were being paid as much as $100,000 a month, even as much as $400,000 a month. But, you know, I got to tell you, we all have a handle pretty much on our subscribers and, you know, what our business model is, and we should have a good sense of where our money's coming from. And I don't know, it just seems suspicious to me that they could be duped. But, you know, we haven't heard everything yet, but we do know that they're being paid off by Russia. And, you know, and so I kind of laugh and say, you know what, I give you my ideas and my thoughts, and nobody's paying me, but if you want to buy me a cup of coffee, you can buy me a cup of coffee. Anyway, and I guess the other thing I'm so excited about today was the debate last night. Man, I was holding my breath. I knew Kamala was capable, but, you know, we just, we wonder. You know, we wonder how the moderators are going to perform, you know, and anyway, a few minutes in, we realized, you know, who she is came through, and it was an incredible debate, and I am just so frustrated, however, you know, with the legacy media who, you know, they still want to say, you know, well, she doesn't give enough specifics. All the while, when Democrats do give specifics, they say, oh, we go too deep in the weeds and people don't want to hear all those details. And they never hold Trump to specifics. They never ask him a follow-up question. He can say nonsense. And they never say, but but Mr. Trump, tariffs actually cost the consumers, not the country that the tariffs are applied to, but Mr. Trump, that's not true. Mr. Trump, we really do need more specifics. At least last night, they did do some fact-checking, but he still got away with so many lies. And it's disheartening because people who aren't paying attention, they may take what he says as truth because it's being said on television, They might really think that, he couldn't say it if it wasn't true. So I don't know. That bothered me. But I am happy this morning. I'm not going to let that negativity dispel how wonderful I feel about the incredible job Kamala did last night. And I think pretty soon we're going to be calling her Madam President. So that said, and if you haven't heard, one last thing, and I'm going to get to your life's purpose, Taylor Swift endorsed Kamala today, as are many, many Republicans, especially ones who work for Donald Trump, because they know him best, and they say he is unfit, unhinged. He cannot be trusted. He is too easily manipulated. And honestly, he's just pretty dumb. All right. So, you know where I stand, but if you're listening to my show, you probably did anyway. So let's get to the purpose of today's show. I wanted to talk to you about discovering your life's purpose. So if you've been following me here on Voices of the Sacred Feminine, or you've been following me, on some of my newsletters, I want to thank you who've been responding so positively to the topics I've been talking about and writing about. For instance, recent newsletters about the collective feminine wound, or society reviling women's anger and white women's tears. Those writings broke my previous records for opens and clicks set by earlier newsletters about spiritual bypassing and how far too many people are feigning love and compassion to avoid having difficult conversations. And I'm going to be sharing some of those with you here on the air as well. But if you are a newsletter reader as well as a podcast listener, thank you, for your comments. It helps me know that what I'm sharing is useful and interesting to you. And my podcast listeners will be getting some of that information in the coming weeks and months. But today I want to share with you a new tool that I found very intriguing that I didn't know existed before, I don't know, maybe 4, 5, 6 months ago. I think you're going to want to know about this. And the more I explore, the more I found it to be incredibly accurate. But, first a little bit of backstory. There's always backstory. So, maybe it's just the point in life that I find myself now, but I've been wondering quite a lot for some time about my purpose here on Mother Gaia. Was I fulfilling my purpose? What is my soul? And thanks to Christianity, that's a term that for a really long time was loaded with negativity, soul. But I've gotten beyond that, and I ask now, does my soul have a purpose, or are lives determined by fate, or are we just stumbling around randomly following our passion or the latest new fad on TikTok, or maybe we're just feathers in the wind flitting from one thing to another without any deeper meaning, or do we go where other people or circumstances push us? Maybe some of us are just hamsters on a wheel, too exhausted or paralyzed to delve deeper. Some of us don't have as much intellectual curiosity as others. You've probably figured out by now, I want to know what's behind the locked door and shout those findings from the rooftops. Maybe like many of you, one tool for understanding that I've tapped in the past was astrology. Well, depending on how the stars were aligned at my birth, I became me. delving into my astrological sign and natal chart, I got some insight into my personality. For instance, an astrologer read my chart a long time ago and assured me, due to a particular alignment, which I can't remember now the jargon, whenever I fall down or someone pushes me down, I'll always, and I'm using air quotes here, his words, I'll always rise up like a phoenix. And if they push me down, well, they might feel the, quote, sting of my scorpion tail, unquote. Well, you know, I guess fortunately or unfortunately, that seems to be true. I've had some major hits, and in time, I healed and stood back up. I didn't stay down, and I have stung with my scorpion's tail. I can say I rise up after descending. I never stay in the rut, and I'm not going to be a doormat either. So I guess the other thing, too, is I'm true to my Virgo nature and believe these traits and my handy lists have enabled me to do all the things I've managed in my life. You know, I have seen the accuracy of my first and second Saturn returns, but I saw the accuracy of astrology more in hindsight than it being prophetic, I guess. I found my natal chart useful to a point, but often vague and sometimes irrelevant. Then, you know, if I follow the astrology of Kabbalah, I'm not actually a Virgo at all. I'm actually a Leo. So what sign am I really? This inability to really utilize astrology more effectively, you know, it might even be my own shortcoming for not delving deep enough. I will say, ashamedly, you know, I'm not a math wizard, and all the numerology within the astrology is a turnoff to me. You know, I find it challenging. And maybe I've just not found really good astrologers that were accurate. Anyway, long story short, astrology just didn't speak to me. It wasn't for me. As for other tools of self-discovery, I've had past life regressions, which I revealed in my last book, Normalizing Abuse. I went into my first regression looking for where I might have previously met my beloved husband of 40 years. Well, I didn't get that answer for a while. Instead, interestingly, I learned I may have once been a male apprentice in medieval times who was trapped working for an evil healer who served the king. I know, right? You can't make this stuff up. Apparently, I also lived as a Cistercian monk who toiled behind a plow pulled by an ox by day. What a great view, right? And I transcribed holy manuscripts by candlelight at night, though it seemed I was secretly involved in facilitating the learning of alternative spirituality, not Christianity. I guess there's maybe no surprise there. In another life, I was an educated female servant, a house manager, so to speak, serving the women in an Egyptian temple of sacred sexuality. And I finally did find my husband Roy in a past life. We were actually together in an African tribe, and Roy was the leader. I was the tribe healer who saved his life. Now, none of these things I would ever have imagined for myself. Well, maybe not. While knowing all of this was fun, it was entertaining, I might see recurring patterns across lifetimes, with this life even. And these glimpses only shed a bare minimum of information on my life in this incarnation. And recently I actually had another one about, and this is over years, right? It's not like I sit there day in and day out doing past life regressions. It's not like that at all. I've just recorded these and written them down to refer back to them, you know, to see if there's insights I might glean. Well, the most recent past life regression I did, it seemed Roy and I were brother and sister on a wagon train headed to Oregon, of all places, where we actually live now. And, you know, at the end of the session, the facilitator said, what did you learn from this lifetime? And it was about how you have to sometimes take risks and look for patterns and look for resilience. And actually, that made sense to me because, you know, Roy and I did leave Louisiana to risk, and risked a lot because we were looking for a better life, and the same reason we came to Oregon. So patterns playing out. I think that's interesting. So anyway, getting back to this new tool of self-discovery, I heard nothing about it in the 3 decades I lived in Los Angeles. Instead, it was revealed to me in this sleepy little conservative town where I live in Southern Oregon by a self-empowerment guide by the name of Raylan Binker. And it's called Gene Keys, created by a fellow by the name of Richard Rudd, who studied human design with Ra'uru Hu for 13 years. And Gene Key is a synthesis of human design. The two tools are similar, even complement each other, but each informs a bit differently. And for expedience, I'm going to focus more on Gene Key than human design. But, you know, you might want to go look into it. You can Google it. So to get started, like when doing a natal chart in astrology, both human design and Gene Key uses our birth city and exact birth time off of your birth certificate to determine who and what you are. Gene Keys reveal our life's work, in other words, what we came here in this life to do, our evolution, and by that they mean what we came here to learn, our radiance, with what keeps us healthy, and our purpose, what deeply fulfills us, those 4 key things. And it can go deeper, but that's kind of where you start. Now, not only can we understand ourselves better using Gene Keys, but we can also understand others more deeply, allowing us to accept ourselves and others in a way that celebrates our differences. It can help us navigate relationships and heal current and ancestral relationship wounds when we know our Gene Keys and the Gene Keys of others. And I have to say, so far, I'm pretty impressed and intrigued by this. When I have time, I still delve into it. But here are just a few quick revelations for myself that Gene Keys brought to the fore. So Gene Keys clearly show why I've been a warrioress for social justice, helping women recognize the patriarchy we all swim in so they might free themselves, you know, from religious, societal, and cultural shackles. You know, being sensitive to victimization is right there in the shadow aspect of my Gene Key 55. Imagine, when I was born, the cosmos or universal intelligence ordained these traits in me so that I might do exactly what I'm doing. I don't know. I just think that's pretty awesome, you know? Let me see. Then the other, my priestess work, feminism, belief in democratic socialism, because you know what, I want to be as happy as those Scandinavian, people in those Scandinavian countries who claim to be the happiest people on earth, and they have, their form of government is democratic socialism. You know, so my belief in that was seated in my Gene Key 59.6 and Gene Key 55 all along. I recognize oppression more quickly. I detest those who tolerate or perpetuate abuse and victimize me or other people, because the shadow of my Gene Key 59 is dishonesty. You know, I've learned and understand I really, really, really hate dishonesty, lies, betrayal, gaslighting, and spiritual bypassing, which is dishonesty. I thought everybody must surely hate and push back on these things, but apparently not. Some just go along to get along. Some just sweep things under the rug so they never experience discomfort or make waves. Some have unhealthy boundaries or none at all. But apparently my Gene Keys validate it is my job in this life to actually rattle cages, to make waves and say hard things others can't bring themselves to say. In fact, according to Gene Keys, if I'm not honest, which means sometimes risking the love and friendship of others as I, you know, speak the truth, then I'm not fulfilling my purpose and I risk depression and dysregulation, as some like to call it. I am designed to say the truth, even if it's uncomfortable for others to hear, because the evolution of society demands it. What? What was that? What did I just say? Okay, so my Gene Key is not a license to be a mean girl or a dickhead, despite what, you know, some may think, and I take this aspect of myself with great responsibility. I literally have to risk making others uncomfortable because my Gene Key is in alignment with humanity's shift in consciousness to evolve away from fear and oppression into one of harmony, love, and peace. But that doesn't mean spiritual bypassing or overly indulgent and blind love and compassion. Okay, I'll read that again. My Gene Key is not a license to be a mean girl or a dickhead, despite what some may think, and I take this aspect of myself with great responsibility. But according to my Gene Key, I literally have to risk make others uncomfortable because my Gene Key is in alignment with humanity's shift in consciousness to evolve away from fear and oppression into one of harmony, love, and peace. And anybody else who has that Gene Key that I do, it's the same for them as well. This isn't just me, you know, the only person on the planet or one of a few people on the planet. Anybody with that Gene Key, you know, this is about them. So yeah, of course it's not just about me. This is the life purpose of anyone who is a Gene Key 59. Then add to that my Gene Key line, which is a number 6, makes me a teacher. So my purpose was and is going out there stirring the cauldron all these years, raising awareness, apparently making some people uncomfortable so they wake up and get the information they need to improve or change their lives. No wonder people exhaust me sometimes and I have to hibernate with my cats to recover. You know, some of us were just put here to make things uncomfortable, to rattle cages, to challenge authority, to maybe help people think. And oh my God, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Now, I know I've got a lot of exclamation points in what I'm saying. You can hear it in my voice, right? But this has all been so informative and overwhelming to me. I feel as if Gene Keys should be required learning. So much more was revealed about my personal shadow gifts in city, they call it, which is my divine gift, and how they resonate with me, which I might reveal in, you know, in coming episodes if, you know, I still keep delving into this and it still feels interesting. Why will I keep sharing? Well, you know, you might ask, why does Karen expose such personal information here and in my previous talks and writings and podcasts and books? Well, Gene Keys actually explains it. I know, it's crazy, right? It turns out transparency is my city, divine gift, and intimacy or vulnerability is my gift in my Gene Key 59. It's my nature to share. I am vibrating at my highest level when I'm vulnerable and transparent. But I'm learning discernment and not to cast my pearls before swine, too, as the old saying goes. So, in the meantime, if any of this intrigues you, please check out Gene Keys. You know, it's pretty awesome. You can just go to GeneKeys.com. Now, if you Google it, don't go to GeneKey.com. Put the S on the end of Keys, GeneKeys.com. And you can, you know, fill out your birth date and birthplace, and you can get started. You know, there's the book by Richard Rudd you can get, but there's also a lot of free stuff online if this sounds intriguing to you, and I hope it does. And, you know, next time I'm with you, next Wednesday, we're going to be talking about spiritual bypassing and white women's tears and why society reviles women's anger. Yeah, I think that's important. So I think that about does it for me. Today's session was a little bit short, but, you know, I hope, you know, you have enjoyed what I was sharing today. The bees buzzing around in my bonnet, here they are. Wanting to come back. They want to have their voice. So, you know, I am going to end today with an homage to Sekhmet, the lion-headed Egyptian goddess. She is a warrioress. She's a mother. She's a nurturer. And I so see her essence and, as I like to call her, Mamala Kamala, you know, Kamala Harris, you know, Mamala Sekhmet. I see those two as reflections of each other as we try to birth the sacred feminine, the divine feminine into our mainstream world. I feel like it's within our grasp, people. So, yeah, you maybe think about that. You can go to my website and see what I've actually written about Mamala Sekhmet, comparing Sekhmet and Kamala Harris, you know, their essence. So, anyway, I'll say goodbye for now, and please go out there and do everything you can to, you know, help make this election go in the direction of freedom and our future rather than oppression, autocracy, and dictatorship. And I know that might sound like hyperbole, but it's really not. Please do look into Project 2025. Don't believe, like some, that Trump has nothing to do with it. That's not true whatsoever. And know that so many Republicans are voting against him and coming out against him, the people who knew him best, for a reason. He's dangerous and he's unhinged. So here is Sekhmet, the lion-headed Egyptian goddess, Lady of Tenacity Manifested, as I like to call her, the mother lioness who has the courage to stand alone or work collaboratively, you know, with her tribe and her pride. The mother goddess Sekhmet, here she is.